We will begin in Acts chapter 20 this morning, if you'd like to be turning there. Acts chapter 20, we'll look at verse 17. A few weeks ago, I was to attend an all-day conference in Memphis on a Thursday. I drove up late on Wednesday afternoon, and knowing about the East Shelby congregation out in the Memphis suburb of Harveyville, that's where Melissa's parents attend, I went out there for Bible study on Wednesday evening. The class I was in was studying a book on leaders in the church. Not just elders and deacons and preachers, but Bible class teachers and parents and those who lead in their everyday life. Someone handed me a book, and I looked at it. And the lesson we had that night had a lot to do with shepherds as leaders. I glanced through the remainder of the book, and the next lesson was on elders. So that lesson we had that night was a prep lesson for the one to follow. That lesson we studied in Collierville that night hit me pretty hard. And it's been on my mind a lot since then. I don't have a copy of the workbook to get the exact lesson we had there, but I want to look at some of the scriptures that was in that lesson that I remember and talk about them this morning. This lesson will be directed primarily to five men, four of which are sitting out there and one's up here. Secondarily, to all the men in the congregation who, at some time in the future, could serve as shepherds for a local church. And even down to the youngest of those in their teens and 20s. And also to you ladies, who someday, well, maybe are, or someday, will be the wife of such a shepherd. Believe me, their role is at best sometimes difficult, but so very important. And later on, there'll be some remarks that will apply more to everyone. So if you find these thoughts this morning worthwhile. Acts chapter 20, verse 17. From Miletus, he, that would be Paul, sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. When he had come to them, he said to them, drop down to verse 28, take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Verse 17, we see that Paul was addressing these comments to the elders at the church at Ephesus. In verse 28, he tells them to take heed. It means to give careful attention to take heed. He tells them to take heed first to yourselves. So first give careful attention to yourselves. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continuing them. For in doing this, you'll save both yourself and those who hear you. So these elders at Ephesus were to give careful attention first to themselves and then to all the flock. Notice this word all that will come into play as we go through the lesson. The elders were to give careful attention to all the flock. And the reason Paul gives is in verse 29 when he says that savage wolves are going to come in and they will not spare the flock. There's one more phrase in verse 28 I want to look at for a minute first. That is, made you overseers. Overseers. The ones who are to examine their spiritual state of the flock, to take care as they lead the flock in and out and find pasture. Listen to these sobering comments from one commentator. It is an office of most awful responsibility. Few there are who can fill it. And of those who occupy this high and awful place, perhaps we may say there are fewer still who discharge the duties of it. Now you get to see why that lesson in Cargerville that night got my attention. This commentator says, fewer there are who discharge the duties of this office. The church in this passage is called a flock, and the elders are to shepherd that flock. We'll see more about the shepherd's role in just a minute. But dangers were coming, and Paul was concerned, and the elders needed to take heed, to be on guard. Turn now to 1 Timothy, up to 1 Peter chapter 5. Look at a couple of verses there. 1 Peter chapter 5. These verses are written by a man who was a shepherd. Where Peter in chapter 1 Peter 5, verse 1 says, the elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not just for dishonest gain but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Verse 2 again, we find a comparison between the flock and the elders as being the shepherds. The elders are to discharge the duties of a shepherd toward the flock, which means to take such action in the oversight of the church as a shepherd would normally take in taking care of his flock. Now to learn a little bit about the role of a shepherd, turn to Psalms 23 and let's look at the work of a shepherd from one who was a shepherd. David, we know, was a shepherd in his younger days. So I'd like to read this passage and look at it as David as a young shepherd writing this. And look at the shepherding terms that are used. Start with verse 2. The shepherd makes his sheep to lie down in green pastures. He leads his sheep beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me beside the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Verse 2, the shepherd makes his sheep to lie down in green pastures and leads them beside still waters. Green pastures here are pastures of tender grass. And it's not, in this verse, looking at pastures for the purpose of eating, but rather for rest. So tender green grass to lay in, to lie in. You think about an animal as he lies with all 4 feet folded up under him when he's at rest. The waters here are waters of stillness. Waters whose quiet flow would make it nice for rest, as opposed to a boisterous running stream or a stagnant pool that might be there. In verse 3, the shepherd leads him to paths of righteousness or paths of safety. The shepherd has to choose that path for his sheep that will be safe without danger. His reputation as a good shepherd would depend on his taking care of the sheep and keeping them safe. In verse 4, neither I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, nor fear no evil, for you're with me. Picture the valley of the shadow of death as being a ravine overhung by steep cliffs, maybe dense forest, a place that would instill dread to the sheep. beasts of prey would be there. But the shepherd's rod and staff guides the sheep safely through such a place. There are other shepherd references in this psalm. That's enough to get the idea of what I want to talk about here. David called on his past experience as he cared for his flock to choose these shepherding terms as he writes to the Lord as his shepherd. In this lesson, we want to look at these illustrations to think about the shepherds in a local church. Look again at Psalms 23. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David looking to his shepherd, the Lord himself. He has confidence in his shepherd. He will not be lacking in any necessity. You'll list some of these blessings in the verses that follow. Shepherds in the church today need to fill their roles, their duties, so that their sheep do not want. I'm not talking about for physical want, I'm talking about for spiritual needs. The spiritual needs that will guide them to eternity with the chief shepherd. The pastures of rest and still waters of verse 2 tells me that there is no turmoil in the church. It's guarded from false teachers or anyone else who would come in to stir up the flock. All the sheep lie peacefully at rest. No turmoil from within or from without. Those savage wolves that Paul warned about have not infiltrated this flock. Verse 3 talks about the path the shepherd would choose, the righteous path. Couple this with verse 4, for a safe journey through the valley of death, where dangers and foes will be there for the flock. Every sheep would be of concern. Shepherds in the church today have to watch the path chosen for the church as a whole and each sheep individually. All the flock, as we saw earlier in Acts chapter 20. Some may be able to climb the steep cliffs. Others may need a hand to hold on to. Some need instructions on how to navigate the dangers of Satan. The shepherd will give an answer to the master on how he handled each sheep, each soul committed to his charge. He better know his sheep and be willing to care for them individually with tender care. Well, unfortunately, shepherds do at times fail. If you'll look at Ezekiel 34, we'll look at that a minute. Ezekiel chapter 34, the shepherds of Israel had failed to lead God's people. I want to read the first, I'd like to read a lot of it, I'd like to read the first six verses of Ezekiel 34. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus saith the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourself with wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. They became food for all the beasts of the fields when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over all the face of the earth. No one was seeking or searching for them. Verse 2. Prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. The shepherds in this case are not the elders of the New Testament church, but the shepherds here include the priests, the Levites, maybe the kings and princes who would instruct and care for the people. The flock here, of course, is God's nation. the priests and Levites are using the tithes, the offerings, not to enable them to better fulfill their work in caring for the people, but to pamper their own bodies, support themselves in a life of pleasure and enjoyment. Verse 3, you eat the fat and clothe yourselves, but you do not feed the flock. Remember Paul's words again. Take heed to yourself and to all the flock. The disease you have not strengthened. No one is fit to be a good shepherd. We know the diseases of the sheep. Anyone fit to be a good shepherd would know the diseases of the sheep and know how to care for them and how to cure these diseases. Neither of you bound up that which was broken. A good shepherd, if a sheep had a broke leg, he would know how to splint it, how to set the bones, and how to care for it, those bones that came strong. A proper shepherd loves his sheep. He feels interested in their welfare. He acquaints himself with them, so he knows they can distinguish each one of them. He knows how many sheep have gone astray. He counts them to see if anyone is missing. If one be lost or strayed, the shepherd would go immediately and try to find it. He's constantly on the watch. A sheep cannot have strayed very far before a real shepherd would miss it and be aware that it's gone. And the quicker he finds it, the better it's going to be. The shepherds of Israel here in this passage knew nothing about their flock. They might have been diseased or infirmed or bruised or maimed or limbs broken. They have even strayed off and been gone. They didn't watch over them. They got the fat of the sheep and they got the wool. They set their table, had their clothing, but regarded nothing else. They considered the flock for their own use. Reading this makes me think of my role. And I'm speaking of me, and I'm not in any way indicting any other shepherds of this church. But reading this makes me shiver. It scares me almost beyond belief. I picture myself sitting in my comfortable chair in our meeting room every Sunday afternoon, or maybe in my recliner at home. Thinking more about me and not what's going on in your life. Let's look at some of these verses again. Verse 2. It says, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? Am I more concerned about me or about you? Verse 3. You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with wool. We all need spiritual food. But who should need spiritual food more? Me? Or some of these young people? Or the new Christian? Or someone who's struggling with some particular daily issue of life? Which leads me to verse 4, which says, the weak you've not strengthened, nor you've healed those that were sick, nor bound the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty, you have ruled them. Again, reading from a commentary. Is any man fit for the pastoral office or to be a shepherd of souls who is not well acquainted with the diseases of sin and all its varieties and the remedy for these diseases, the proper mode of ministering it in various cases? Have I worked to heal those who are sick in sin? Or better still, have I done all I can to prevent this sickness in the first place? Have I worked to bring back members of this flock who are driven away by Satan? Have I ruled with force and cruelty as did the shepherds of Israel? Verse 5. They were scattered because there was no shepherd. They became food for all the beasts of the fields. So now you have this sobering thought. The sheep are scattered, lost to sin, because there was no shepherd. Well, verse 2 says that there was a shepherd, so they were addressed to the shepherds. But these weren't real shepherds. Not shepherds who truly cared for their sheep on a daily basis, constantly working to provide the proper care for the sheep, to stay to their knees, to find the green pasture for no turmoil, to feed and nurture the spiritually sick, to lead with protection through the daily dangers of sin, to warn and to plead and to instruct and to pray. So verse 6 says, my sheep are wandered away. My sheep are gone, scattered because my shepherd did not do their job. Another quote from a commentary that got my attention. A proper shepherd loves his sheep. He feels interested for their welfare. He acquaints them with himself with them all, so he knows they can distinguish each one. He knows their number. He frequently counts to see if any is missing. If one be lost or strayed, he goes immediately and seeks it. He's in constant watch. A sheep cannot have strayed far before it's missed. And the sooner it's found, it's brought back to the fold. Before one sheep is lost from this flock, I should know that sheep well enough to know his or her weaknesses, to encourage, to instruct, to pull that person away from the threats of Satan. Now turn to 1 Kings chapter 12. Look at our last point. First Kings chapter 12. Elders as servant leaders. 1 Kings 12, the first few verses. It's after Solomon's death. King Rehoboam is about to be crowned. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had gone to Shechem to make him king. So it happened when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard it. He was still in Egypt, for he had fled from the presence of King Solomon, been dwelling in Egypt. They sent and called him. Then Jeroboam, the whole assembly of Israel, came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, your father made our yoke heavy. Now therefore lighten the burdensome service of your father, for his heavy yoke which you put on us, and we will serve you. So he said, depart from me 3 days, then come back to me. And the people departed. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived, and said, how do you advise me to answer these people? They spoke to him, saying, if you will be a servant to these people today, and serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, they will be your servants forever. Most of you are familiar with the rest of this story, but these 7 verses will suffice to make our point. In verse 1, they came to make him a king, the leader, the ruler of the nation. In verse 7, the older advisors who had served with Solomon gave Rehoboam this advice. Be a servant to these people. A king servant. A leader, yet one who serves. We often hear politicians say, I want to serve as your governor for the next 4 years. I want to serve as your mayor for the next 4 years. We talk about someone being a public servant. Someone, you often hear one say, he serves as an elder in our congregation. So whether a politician serves or not, we can leave that for some other discussion. But when it comes to elders of the Lord's church, they had better, in the truly fullest sense of the word, serve. This job is not to be the boss, make a name or reputation for yourself, or just to be the leader. It's a servant leader. Sure, the elder must lead and guide, just as the true shepherd will lead and guide his flock. But the shepherds in the true church lead by serving their congregation, and in so doing, serving our God. They serve by teaching, both publicly and privately. It may be from the pulpit, it may be in a classroom, maybe in a group in a home or some other setting. Maybe it's one-on-one. Helping someone who needs some basic understanding or some special encouragement to stand up against the trials and temptations of life. They serve by being there when they need to lift up someone who is physically sick. The prayers of the elders should always be available to the sick or physically needy. They serve by knowing each member, by being willing to encourage the weak, to speak a kind word at the right time, in the right manner, with true, caring love. It might be a need to warn or even rebuke for the purpose of leading a member back to the truth, or to get a wayward sheep to repent for wandering from the fold. And in so many other ways, the elder leads while he is serving. King Rehoboam failed at this. There's one other example of a servant leader in John chapter 13. John chapter 13, we see Jesus, the Master, the King, as a servant. John 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come, He should depart from the world and go to the Father. Having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, that He had come from God and was going to God, rose from the supper, lay aside His garments, took a towel and girded Himself. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe the towel which He was girded. You know this. You know about this account. Jesus had been their leader with His apostles on the earth, the true King of the Jews, the chief shepherd, as Peter called Him in the passage from 1 Peter 5 we read. And now He girds Himself with a towel and proceeds to wash His disciples' feet, a task normally done by a host for a visitor, or maybe the servant of the host washing the visitor's feet. Certainly, one bowing down, as it were, lowly kneeling to wash the feet of another. This time, it's the Savior of the world washing feet. Unlike King Rehoboam, this king shows us how to be real servant leaders. We'll read it again, two verses we read at the start. Acts 20 and 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. In 1 Peter 5, verse 2, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Approach the work eagerly, as a leader finding the way through the valley of the shadow of death, looking for the peace of green pastures and still waters, as a servant being willing to wash feet, all the time knowing the value of your sheep. The price paid was His own blood. I've said a lot in this lesson about the failure of shepherds, and the shepherds in the church today are just as susceptible to failure as the shepherds of Israel in Ezekiel's day. However, God has designed His church to be guided and ruled by mortal men. For the potential failure never in any way should hinder a man from doing his part in fulfilling God's plan for His church. 1 Timothy 3 verse 1 says, "It's a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work." The Lord's church today is suffering because Christian men are, one, not preparing themselves, and two, not stepping up with the desire to fill the role that God has set in place in His church. So let me now plead with you men who are qualified accept this position that God has planned for you. Like Esther, this may be the time for you to step up and serve. For those of you who are still working on the qualifications, do so with every diligence. You too will be needed in the coming years. I said earlier, there will be some comments that apply to everyone. Three quick verses. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and over you in the Lord and admonish you, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. 1 Timothy 5, verse 17. That the elders who rule be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in word and doctrine. Verse 19, do not receive an accusation against an elder, except from two or three witnesses. And finally, Hebrews 13, verse 17, obey those who rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy, and not with grief. That would be unprofitable for you. The elders do a work that when done properly can be very difficult and challenging at times. They even feel with grief, as this verse says. I don't know the times that I have seriously wondered if I'm the right guy for the job. I look at my life and my failures, yet I'm supposed to be an example to the flock. I must give an account for my success or failure in this work. But this work is also one that's to have joy. Begin at verse 17. Let them do so with joy. And it has an eternal reward from 1 Peter 5, 4. You will receive the crown of glory. It does not fade away. And we'll talk for just a minute on this phrase, let them do so with joy. There are so many of you who do just that. You let us, you even help us with our work, make it joyful. It's mainly because of the way you behave and the way you do your work. I've personally told a few of you how much I appreciate you or something special you've done or are doing. I'm sure there are many more where you do praise and compliments for your work. Unless I miss one of you, I'll say thank you now. I'll make a better effort to tell you one-on-one how much I appreciate what you do to make shepherding a joy. Unless we come too puffed up, Steve said he and Sandy often remind each other of a verse that says, when you've done all things you're commanded to do, we're unprofitable servants. So keep doing what you're doing. Let us all work diligently. Anyone who could do more, who really ought to be doing more, decide now's the time to get busy. Remember the parable of the talents. We don't all have the same ability, but we all have the same duty to do what we can. I have no intentions of embarrassing, but I told one of our young men recently, you have so much potential, and most of us do. We just need to put that potential to work. More specifically, you have responsibilities in the shepherd's work. From these three passages, recognize those who labor among you. Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Obey those who rule over you. And be submissive. I thank you for your attention. It's not been my intention this morning to scare off any of you who are now or in the future might be willing to serve as a shepherd of the Lord's church. We just need to realize it's a work. Or what the Lord has designed into His body, the role of a servant leader. It may be this morning that you are a sheep that has wandered from the fold that needs to come back to God. Or it may be that you need to obey the initial commands and become a Christian. Whatever the case, I invite you to come as we stand and sing.